arm around his lean waist and cuddled into him. I knew logically it was the vodka making me act crazy, but I couldn't stop it.
We're only 3 blocks from my place. I'll pour a gallon of coffee down your throat and shove some chips or a frozen burrito in your face and get you a cab. You're even paler than normal, and if you try to get in a car right now, you're gonna puke everywhere. Why are you drunk and dressed all sexified tonight anyway?
I shivered a little as the wind breezed across my bare legs. I turned my cold nose into his ribs and inhaled. He smelled like the antiseptic from the shop, like cigarettes from Nash, like the hair product in his mohawk, and underneath it all, the warm, earthy smell that was just Rule. In the 6 years I had known him, I'd never been this close to him for this long. It was enough to send my sex-deprived and alcohol-soaked system into overdrive. You think I look sexy? That seemed like the important part of the conversation. We stopped at a stop sign, and he looked down at me with exasperation clear in those pale eyes.
Shaw, every guy in the bar was circling you like you were bait in the water during Shark Week. You know you look good. What I think shouldn't matter. What should matter is why you're suddenly dressing, looking, and acting like a different person. What's going on with you?
I wanted to scowl up at him, but that seemed too hard, especially when his t-shirt rode up in the back and my arm was brushing against nice, warm skin. I stumbled off the curb as we made our way down another block, and his familiar Victorian apartment building came into sight. He pulled me in tighter to his side, and I didn't even try to hide the soft sigh that fell out of me.
Everyone thinks I need to act a certain way. You, my parents, your parents, the girls from work, Gabe. Everybody always wants me to be this, do that, walk this line, toe that line, and I'm sick of it. Maybe for just once, I just want to act how I want and feel how I want to feel without someone judging me and expecting something from me in return.
He was quiet as we walked up the front steps to the apartment. Maybe he was trying to translate my drunken speech, because even I could hear that I was slurring between my chattering teeth. He pushed the door open and twisted the lock. It was warm inside, so I shook off my jacket and pushed my shaking hands through my hair. I turned my blurry eyes on him and almost swallowed my tongue. He was leaning back against the door, watching me with hooded eyes. He wasn't throwing sarcastic barbs at me or ignoring me. He was just watching me. I blew out a breath and tasted the tartness of the cranberry juice across my tongue. I took a few unsteady steps toward him. He was so tall that I had to stand on the very tips of my toes to reach his ear. I put a hand on his shoulder and one on the door beside his head and whispered, "It's my birthday, Rule." I expected him to move away, to gently shove me to the side. But he uncrossed his arms and placed his hands on either side of my waist. Those pale eyes flared for a second, and his mouth twisted down, making the hoop on the side of his mouth glint at me.
"I'm sorry, Shaw. I had no idea."
I shrugged it off and moved a step closer to him.
"It's okay. My own family didn't even remember it."
I pressed so close to him that my chest was flat against his. I could feel that the close proximity was having an effect on him. If I hadn't had to concentrate on my balance since I was on my toes, I might have grinned at that. All I had ever wanted in life was to affect him, to get him to feel something, anything other than simple tolerance for me.
"I know what you can do for me to make this officially the best birthday ever."
I wanted to sound sure, to sound sexy and sultry, but I'm pretty sure I just sounded horny and drunk. I didn't care. I was here, the real me, the one who wanted him so desperately and always had. There was no chance at putting her back in her cage now. I didn't think, didn't reason, just used the grip I had on him to pull myself up even taller and plant my mouth solidly over his. The ring in his lip was shockingly cold against my own. The rest of him was undeniably hot and hard. It was everything I had ever wanted, and even though he didn't kiss me back, I still ranked it up there as the best birthday gift ever. I went to settle back down on my booted feet when something shifted, something changed, and Rule went from a passive recipient to something else entirely.
Chapter 5. Rule. Shaw was drunk. Really, really drunk. She was also dressed like something out of a retro fantasy and had on those boots that make me want to drool. I had been grumpy and moody all week. My friends had noticed, my clients had noticed, the chick I'd walked out on Saturday night noticed. I couldn't put my finger on it. At first, I thought it was Rome. I was pissed he wouldn't just tell Mom to grow the fuck up and get over her shit. I wanted him to spend time with me, to have some good times before shipping back out to the desert. But he wasn't ready to give up hope that he could fix our fractured family, and I didn't want to fight with my brother, the freaking war hero. I thought maybe I just needed to get laid. But the hot blonde I went home with on Saturday had started to annoy me in the car on the way to her place. By the time we got to her room, the last thing I wanted was to see her naked, so I bolted. Sunday came and went, and my mood got darker. The guys suggested going to the gold line, thinking maybe I needed a dose of verbal ass-kicking from an ice-cold blonde to get me out of my moodiness. But I refused, and instead spent the day brooding and playing Call of Duty. I had no idea what my problem was. But now, with Shaw all but plastered to the front of me, I was starting to get an idea. I hadn't been able to get the sight of Shaw and her ruffle-covered ass out of my head for days. Call me shallow, call me a chauvinistic pig, but there was just something about seeing her all sexed up and barely dressed that had made me look at her in an entirely new light. It was like being introduced to her all over again, the prim and proper little lady that Remy had worshipped, overtaken by a sexy co-ed that had me up at night thinking X-rated thoughts. Now, with her looking at me all big-eyed and swaying unsteadily, I knew the right thing to do was fix her up and send her on her way. But then she kissed me, and I was pretty sure I forgot my own name. I was too stunned to react at first. I mean, I'd kissed hundreds of girls, and there was always something nice about it. But Shaw kicked nice to the curb and went right into insanity-inducing. After I got enough blood back from below my belt, I realized that she was pulling away, or rather, falling away. And yes, I was a certified asshole, because I knew she was sauced, and I knew she was, for all intents and purposes, still my twin brother's girl. None of that stopped me, because she tasted sweet and tangy, and felt better than anything I could remember in my entire life. She had on some kind of slinky top that was rubbing erotically across my chest. Plus, her hands were wrapped around my neck and playing with the last pointy spike of my new haircut. It was all going right to my dick, which was screaming at me to do something. So, like a bastard, I did. I picked her up because she was short and I was tired of bending over. Her skirt was tight, so I had no problem moving it up her shapely calves so that she could get her legs wrapped around me. She made a gasping noise, and I maybe, possibly, would have stopped what I was doing to her mouth if she hadn't used her new position to grind against my hard-on and get her hands up under my t-shirt. Of all the things I had ever thought about Shaw, the fact that she would go off like a bottle rocket when touched just right was not one of them. She always looked so cool and so collected, but now she was tugging my shirt off over my head and doing something with her tongue on my lip ring that was making my eyes cross. I knew, logically at least, that Nash was probably only a few minutes from walking in the door with her roommate, and this had to stop. There was no way I would be able to live with myself if I let this get out of hand while she was drunk. I set her down on unsteady feet when I felt her push away from me, hoping that maybe, just maybe, even wasted, she would be the voice of reason. She just looked at me through hooded eyes the color of jade and licked her lips, which looked very thoroughly worked over, courtesy of yours truly. Nothing on this planet had ever been hotter. She started pulling at the ties on her silky top and moved past me toward my bedroom. I forgot that she knew where my bedroom was, that she knew her way around my place. She had a damn key. It was on the tip of my tongue to tell her to stop, to tell her I would just put her to bed and she could just sleep whatever this was off. But as I followed behind her, the blue top hit the floor, followed by the black camisole, and then the skirt that did amazing things to her ass. I picked up the discarded clothing and tried to talk myself off the ledge. I couldn't do this. Wouldn't do this. It was bad enough I'd kissed her like a sex-crazed lunatic. I needed to get control back, like yesterday. This was Shaw, not some bar bimbo, not someone I could mercilessly kick out in the morning and never speak to again. Shaw. She turned to look at me over her shoulder, and I think I blacked out for a second. I dropped the pile of clothes in my hands on the floor and tried to unstick my tongue from the roof of my mouth. I'd seen a lot of girls naked, but none of them were this girl. None of them came anywhere close. Somehow she managed to get out of those tall motorcycle boots without falling on her face, and she was staring at me with her big green eyes, clad in nothing more than a few scraps of black lace that were designed for aesthetics rather than function. Every good intention, every idea that I should be the good guy and do the right thing, went out the window. She was all ice-cool hair, perfect pale skin, tiny little waist, and high, touch me please God, touch me breasts. She had a body made to make men stupid, and I wasn't immune. I took a fumbling step toward her after kicking the door closed behind me. Somewhere my conscience was whispering I should just put her to bed and go find a giant bottle of Crown to crawl into and a cold shower to get my libido back in check. But none of that was going to happen, because she met me halfway, and her little hands went right to my belt buckle. Shaw. I tried again. I put my hands on her shoulders, and where I thought I was going to push her away, my body betrayed me, and I ended up pushing the straps of that fancy bra off her shoulders. She pressed close to me, her hands making short work of the belt and the zipper on my pants. Her lips fluttered over the pulse, pounding rapidly at my throat. Her hands trailed lightly over my chest and across my abs, which were tense with desire. One of her legs slid between mine and rubbed against the evidence that I wasn't going to stop her, regardless of knowing it was the right thing to do. "Stop thinking so hard." Her voice was all husky and cloudy with desire. She was the last person on earth I should be contemplating doing this with. But even as objections broke through my haze of lust, I used one hand to unhook her bra and the other to tangle in her hair as I sealed my mouth over hers. Kissing Shaw was a different experience from kissing any other girl. For one, she was really good at it. Most girls got lost or a little confused because of the lip ring and the metal barbell in the center of my tongue. But Shaw seemed oblivious to both of them and kissed me like she had been born to do it. She was also a lot shorter than most of the girls I normally hooked up with, so there was an entire learning curve involved and I had to figure out a way to get all the best parts of us lined up. She didn't seem to care at all that I was a little rough, that I was suddenly impatient. I felt like if I gave myself too much time to get my head around what I was doing, I would falter and stop. And man, I really, really didn't want to stop, because her hands had found their way into my pants, and my dick would kill me if I pulled the plug now. She tugged the denim down over my ass, and I pulled her up so that we were pressed together chest to chest. I shrugged the pants the rest of the way off and gave her a little push so that she fell back onto my rumpled bed. It took some maneuvering and a few curse words to get my boots off, and when I went to crawl up onto the bed, my brain short-circuited, because all she had on were the barely-there lace panties and a dreamy look on her face. A lot of girls had been in this bed. In fact, last weekend had been the first time in a long time I'd spent the night alone. Even though I was in a haze of testicle-squeezing desire, I knew that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, none of them had ever looked like Shaw looked against the dark sheets and comforter. She slid an appreciative eye over my naked form, not like she hadn't seen it before. But somehow, now that I was sprawled out on top of her, the look was more doomy and less rule your gross. Her hand brushed over the tattoo of the Sacred Heart on the center of my chest and up along the two giant rib pieces that covered most of my torso. I had a lot of color and a lot of artwork decorating my skin, and when I was naked, it tended to be a lot to take in and had been overwhelming to some of my less adventurous bed partners. I mean, I'm not vain or conceited, but I know I'm all right to look at. I'm tall and tend toward lean and fit, and I go to the gym a few times a week. But none of that really mattered, because she was looking at me like I was everything she'd ever wanted, and it was doing weird things to my head. I also had a barbell pierced through the head of my penis, which meant I was both brave and idiotic, because half the chicks who saw it had no clue what to do with it. Shaw had walked in on me enough times to know that it was there, but she didn't seem to care either way. She let the pad of her thumb brush across the top ball of it, which made me suck in a breath. I realized I was letting this girl call all the shots. I was about to have sex with her, and we had barely said a word. She was touching me, making me go crazy, and I was just letting her. I needed to get with the program, so I hooked my fingers in her tiny little underwear and pulled them down her legs. She shivered in response, and now that she was finally fully naked and trapped under me, there was a hint of trepidation in her mossy gaze. "You're beautiful." I'd said it to many others before her, but I think this was the first time I meant it. She put her hands on either side of my head, and I realized my new hairdo wasn't exactly an easy one to work with where sex was involved. There was nothing up there for her to hold on to, nothing up there for her to run her fingers through. It was all spiked up and manhandled into intimidating spikes. Not that she seemed to care. She scraped her fingernails across my scalp and gave me a lopsided grin. I couldn't tell if the booze was wearing off or she was finally starting to realize we were naked in bed and about to cross a definite boundary. But a hint of the Shaw I was used to dealing with was starting to surface.
"So are you. You shouldn't be, but you always have been. I remember the first time I saw you, I couldn't believe you were Remy's twin. He was so handsome, always so put together, but you... God rule. You are and were just perfect."
The fact that she brought Remy's name up while her hand was wrapped around my dick should have been like ice water on the moment. It wasn't. I kissed her below her ear and let my teeth nick her neck, and she made a noise that did something to the center of my chest. She hooked a leg up over my hip so that all her heat was pressed up against my hardness. I blinked for a second because I felt like I was forgetting something. She was wrapping her arms around my shoulders and panting as I brushed kisses across her puckered nipples. Just as I was about to let her pull me in, a shiver of apprehension slammed across my spine and I pushed off her. Condom. I'd been having sex since I was 14 years old, and it didn't matter who the girl was or how drunk I was. I never forgot. The fact that my head was spun around by her and I was so lost in what we were doing that I almost put both of us at risk scared the shit out of me.
"I have one in my purse."
I looked at her and blinked. "I have a box in the nightstand, Shaw. Come on. Do you really want to do this? Think about it. You're wasted. You're probably going to regret it in the morning." She sat up and her cool, two-toned hair fell forward to cover the top of her swollen breasts. She looked like every naughty dream I had ever had of her, and I couldn't believe I was trying to talk her out of doing this with me. Her eyes suddenly got glassy, and I knew she was going to cry. She went to crawl past me off the bed, but I trapped her in my arms and rolled her so that we were once again lined up. "Don't cry.
You never wanted me."
I was stunned. I just let my mouth fall open. I'm pretty sure you can feel the proof that that's not true. In fact, you just had your hot little hands all over it. She shook her head, and her silky blonde hair rubbed across my chest.
"That's not what I mean."
"What do you mean?" She wiggled a little against me and reached an arm up for my nightstand drawer. If it had been anyone else, I would have freaked out. But this was Shaw. Anything that was in that drawer wouldn't surprise her or freak her out, including the loaded gun I kept in there. I heard the cellophane wrapper and felt her hands back below my waist. I wasn't sure I remembered ever having a condom put on me, or it ever feeling so good.
Rule, it's my birthday, and my life is a freaking mess most of the time. Can you just for once do something nice for me, please?
What red-blooded American male would turn down a dead sexy, naked blonde who asked him to please do it to her? Not me. No way. No how. So I kissed her again, let my tongue slide against hers, and lifted her leg up over my hip. I like to think I knew what I was doing in this department. After all, I had more practice than I cared to admit. But for some reason, with her, I felt like what I was doing was all new. She kissed me back, and gasped softly as I started to slide in. She was tight and tiny, hot and wet. And I thought I was going to die if I didn't get to get all the way in the next second. She whispered my name across my neck and arched her back. Her nails dug into my shoulders as I lifted her up a little bit and tried to push all the way in. I swore, and she froze as there was something most definitely in the way. But my momentum was too great, and I had her too keyed up to stop. She snapped her wide eyes to mine as her mouth made a little O of surprised pain as I glared down at her. What the fuck, Shaw? She gave her head a little shake and lifted her other leg up around my hip and moved against me in a way that made me utter every swear word I knew.
Don't stop, Rule. Please don't stop.
She was breathy, and it was too late for that to be an option anyway. She felt better than anything I'd ever felt in my life, and there was no way I was going to stop now. Not unless I wanted to walk funny until I was 30. I let the fingers of one hand tangle in her hair and propped my weight on the other so that I wasn't crushing her, and went about having the best sex of my life with a goddamned lying virgin. She moved just the way I wanted her to, touched me in ways that would wake me up in the middle of the night remembering them. She kissed me like she'd been created to do it exactly the way I liked, and matched my rhythm the way only people who have had lots and lots of sex together normally manage to do. Every time she whispered my name or made a sexy sound of satisfaction and delight, it made me feel 10 feet tall. I hadn't had sober sex in a long time, and I hadn't had sex with someone I knew for more than a few hours in a long time either. I couldn't believe the difference both those things made. I wanted it to be good for her, wanted it to turn her inside out like it was doing to me, and since it was her first time, I wanted to make sure that it was what she was going to have to compare every guy to after me. As we moved together, she arched her back and put her hands back on my head. Oh my God, Rule. She was close. I could feel the little tremors all along my cock. There was no way I was going to ruin this for her, so I touched her in a way that was guaranteed to make her shatter and was rewarded with big eyes and a gasp of surrender. I was super relieved because I wasn't going to last much longer. I buried my nose in her neck and followed her over the edge. By the time we were done, my arms were shaking and I was breathing like I had run a marathon. I slid out of her and rolled to my side, all ready to have the regret and despair settle on me. But her eyes had drifted closed, so I got up to go into my bathroom and clean up. I pulled on a pair of sweats and grabbed a washcloth for her. When I went back into the room, she was curled up on her side with her cheek resting on her folded hands, which made her look all of 16 years old. The steady rise and fall of her chest indicated that she was asleep. So I cleaned her up the best I could without waking her and settled on the bed next to her. I crossed my arms under my head and stared up at the ceiling. What the hell had I done? And what in the hell had Remy been doing with her for all those years if he hadn't been sleeping with her? They had always claimed they were just friends, but no one had believed them. The love they had for each other, the protectiveness, the camaraderie they shared had often made me jealous, and now I didn't know what the hell to think. Shaw had been a girl who fell into the girls I can't or won't have sex with category for most of my life, but now I'd blown that all to smithereens, and I didn't know what to do about it. She wasn't just some chick I could never call again, that I could shove out the door the next morning. Add in the fact that it was probably the most intense, best sex of my life, and I felt like I was losing control. I shouldn't feel that way about Shaw. She shouldn't be the one to rock my world like it had never been rocked before. Frankly, it weirded me out that she was better and more turned on by my ink and piercings than the majority of girls I brought home. Now I had disarray on my hands and the wrong girl in my bed, and I didn't have a clue what to do about it. I fell asleep sometime after the sun started to come up, and when I woke to the sound of my phone ringing, the first thing I did was look on the other side of the bed. All the things from the night before slammed into my head. Shaw was gone. The pile of clothes I left on the floor last night were folded neatly on the end of the bed, and none of her pretty little things were left. I groaned and threw an arm over my eyes while answering the call. "What?" My brother chuckled in my ear. "Did I interrupt something?" When I moved to sit up, something crinkled under my hip, and I pulled it out. On a plain piece of sketch paper I'd had lying around for drawing up designs for clients, she had written in her neat, girly script, "Best birthday gift ever. Thanks." She didn't sign it, didn't say she would call or ask me to call her. It was plain and simple, and I wasn't sure if it made me elated or furious. My brother was still waiting for a response, so I shook the cobwebs in my head loose and sat up in the bed. It smelled like sex and her. No, I just didn't sleep good last night. That's what happens when you bring strangers home with you. You have to make sure you sleep with one eye open so they don't rob you or stab you while you sleep. I groaned. Dude, you need to get out of the army. Not every stranger is an insurgent. He muttered something under his breath I didn't catch. Hey, I'm gonna come to Denver for the week. My shoulder's acting up and I need to touch base with my orthopedic surgeon. Plus, Mom's getting on my last nerve. Shaw refused to come over for lunch today because Mom wouldn't invite you as well. Now she's convinced you've somehow corrupted her darling girl. I keep telling her she needs to see someone and Dad even agrees, but she's just so stubborn. I guess that's who we get it from. I winced a little, glad the conversation was happening over the phone. I was sure guilt colored my face. My mom would freak out to extreme levels if she had any clue just how thoroughly I had corrupted Shaw. How much longer before you have to go? Well, I have to be medically cleared first, and I'm supposed to meet with a VA counselor to make sure that I'm not suffering from PTSD because of the accident. I have to have a clean bill of health all the way around before I go back. Well, it'll be nice to finally get a chance to hang out without all the family drama. Yeah. I've been calling Shaw all morning to ask her if I can take her out to dinner or something for her birthday. I'm sure her moronic parents didn't do anything again, and I hate the idea that she probably had to spend it alone. You should get off your lazy ass and come with us if I get a hold of her. I started to choke a little. It was on the tip of my tongue to tell him that she most definitely hadn't been alone. But this was Shaw, and even as close as I am to Rome, he didn't need to know what we'd been doing last night. Nah. I think she's had enough of me. I ran into her a few weeks ago, and I see her around here and there. I think it's a nice break for her not to have to deal with me every weekend. He laughed a little. You're probably right. I'm gonna crash with my buddy Drew since I don't think my shoulder's up to sleeping on your shitty couch and he has the room. But I'll hit you up when I roll into town. If I can't get in touch with Shaw, you and I can go grab dinner somewhere and you can disgust me with all the tales of your latest conquests. I rubbed a hand over my tired face and shoved Shaw's note into the nightstand. I could still feel her hands moving all over me. You need to get off your butt and start having some conquests of your own. You're a hero, dude. Chicks eat that stuff up. I'm not like you, Rule. I'm not 22 and living life by the seat of my pants. Right now, I want to get healthy and finish up my tour without any more dead bodies. I've seen the worst humanity has to offer, and in the last 6 years, I've buried more friends than I've made. I get out of the army in less than 2 years, and I don't know what the future holds for me, so nailing every pretty girl in my path is pretty low on my priority ladder. One day you'll understand. He wasn't wrong. My priorities were very different from his. I made good money, had a ton of savings, and drove a nice car. I was viscerally aware that the majority of my time was spent trying to outrun the shadow of my dead twin. I wallowed in superficial relationships so no one could get close to me, no one could judge me and find me lacking. I sought out girls who were easy, who had zero expectations beyond what I offered, a good time and a few mindless minutes of release. I have never had a girlfriend, and I've never let anyone all the way in because I was scared that I wouldn't be enough once they got down to the core of who I am. I knew it was messed up, knew I was an emotional train wreck, and the thing with Shaw was just bound to make it even worse. Whatever. A good time never killed anyone. Call me later. I tossed the phone on the bed and went into the bathroom to take care of business. When I went into the living room, Nash was sprawled out on the couch watching an early game on the flat screen. He had a mug of coffee in one hand and a donut in the other. Morning. He flicked his gaze up to me. What's up? Nothing. Did you see Shaw this morning? He nodded and held up the donut. She left these. So what's the deal with that? She was in the kitchen this morning, so I assumed she stayed the night with you. I thought you were going to put her in a cab. Where did her roommate end up? I tried to change the subject as I got my own coffee. I offered to bring her back here to wait for Shaw, but she was having a good time, so we had a few more drinks, then I called her a cab. She seemed to think it was a brilliant idea that her very intoxicated friend was going home with you. Why is that? I grunted and sank down on the couch next to him. I don't know. Shaw and I have all kinds of twisted history. Who knows?
But she spent the night with you.
Yeah?
And I'm assuming, because I've known you since forever, that you didn't spend the night discussing politics and watching TV.
I glowered over at him. No. He shook his head and made a tisk-tisk sound.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't, clearly.
Dude, she's not one of those girls. You can't just have me escort her out in the morning and never talk to her again.
Hey, I woke up alone this morning. I didn't make her go anywhere.
But you would have. And Shaw is way too classy and smart to do a walk of shame. Man, I can't believe you hooked up with your brother's girl. You really do have a problem. That's a whole mess I wouldn't even jump into no matter how hot the girl was.
I made a strangled noise and reached forward to put my elbows on my knees. Let's just say I don't think there's any real reason to worry about tarnishing Remy's memory. I don't know what was going on between those two for all those years, but after last night there is undeniable proof that they weren't sleeping together. Nash swore and his eyes got wide.
She was a virgin.
I nodded. I probably shouldn't be sharing all this with Nash, but I was confused, and he was my best friend. I was in over my head.
She was a virgin and gave it up to you. Holy shit, bro. That's like a huge deal.
I sighed. That's what I thought, but then she was gone when I woke up. She was pretty trashed last night, so maybe it was just beer goggles and too many martinis that made the choice for her.
She seemed fine this morning. I mean, she looked hungover and pretty worked over, but she wasn't nervous or weird or anything. She called Aiden for a ride and ran out for breakfast while she waited. I don't know, man. She didn't seem all swoony in love or stalker pissed off. She just seemed like normal Shaw. Granted, I always thought she kinda had a thing for you.
I turned to him with a look of bewilderment.
What? She puts up with your shit no matter how bad it is. Don't you remember that one New Year's she showed up to get you and you brought home the redhead and her friend? That was a freak show, and Shaw didn't even blink. She just tossed you your pants and told you to get it together. She lets you be all moody, surly, and grumpy and doesn't even bat an eye. And trust me, dude, that shit gets old super fast. She's willing to go to battle with the only parent she's known to show her any love because she wants them to treat you right and quit blaming you for Remy's death. She isn't doing any of that for Margot or Dale, and she sure ain't doing it for Remy. The only person any of that benefits is you. Even as stubborn and self-involved as you are, you have to be able to see that.
But she's Shaw. Perfect Shaw. Even when she was little, she was untouchable and aloof. She'd be over at the house all the time with Remy, and every time I said anything or did anything, she would just look at me like I was an idiot. He snorted.
You were an idiot. You don't remember being 16? We were a nightmare, and never very nice to her. You made fun of her hair, teased Remy mercilessly about spending all this time with her. You were an ass.
I was.
Dude, you still totally are. And Shaw is Shaw. She's so freaking beautiful it hurts to look at her sometimes. But she doesn't even know it. She's still untouchable because she's always going to be richer and smarter than we are. But she doesn't care about any of that. She's cool. She doesn't care that you're just you. And honestly, Rule, any chick who can put up with the headache that is you, well, I put a goddamn diamond on her finger.
I punched him in the shoulder. I'm not that bad. He gave me a look.
Yeah, you are. Think about it. It only took seeing her dressed as a sexy referee to get you to notice she was an actual girl after all this time. You suck.
But man, oh man, did she look good in that outfit.
See? Total suckage. So what are you going to do now? Call her?
I don't know. Rome is coming to town, and since I like my privates located where they are, I need to keep this on the down low. I don't think she'll say anything to him.
Probably not. She knows it would drive your crazy mom right over the edge.
Yeah.
So?
He paused and gave me a pointed look.
Was it worth screwing everything up?
I let my head fall back on the couch and stared up at the ceiling. It so totally was. I had had the best sex of my life with a girl I had thought was way out of my league and in love with my dead brother. Yeah. Nash was probably right. If anybody could put up with all the crazy I was rocking, I should probably lock her in quick, because even I could see how seriously screwed up I am.
Chapter 6. Shaw. Stop looking at me like that. I fiddled with my hair and adjusted the scarf I had around my neck. Rome was looking at me like he was trying to see inside my head, and I didn't like it one bit. I ignored his calls all day Sunday because I was still trying to get my head around the fact that I had drunkenly demanded Rule take my virginity, and I had been sore from both the booze and the bed acrobatics. I had a test Monday and had to work a closing shift, and on Tuesday I did a volunteer shift at the children's hospital and suffered through an ungodly dinner with my father and his new wife. Rome had been forced to wait until today to take me on my belated birthday dinner. Ever since I'd sat down, he had been peering at me intently, and I had to keep checking to make sure that the scarf was covering the lovely hickey Rule had left Saturday night. I'd gotten enough flack from Aiden about it, and I didn't need Rome joining in on the Shaw is an idiot bandwagon.
It's the hair. It's nice, but I'm just used to the all blonde. You look different. More mature.
Thanks, I like it.
I don't think I've ever seen you in jeans, either.
I went shopping for my birthday. I decided that the pearls and heels didn't need to be worn every time I left the house. I have plenty for when it's time to play society maven for the folks.
Speaking of birthdays, I brought this from Mom and Dad.
He handed me a little bag, and I set it on the table between us. Your mom won't talk to me. I tried to call her the other day.
She's having a hard time now that you laid down the law. She always viewed you as an ally in the Rule needs to get his act together war. She just doesn't see what she's doing to him, to us.
I sighed. I know. That's why I had to stop.
This is from me.
He gave me a gift certificate to my favorite Bath and Body store. I smiled and gave him a big hug. I just love this guy. He looks like a warrior, but he has such a good heart. Thank you, Rome. This is so sweet. I'm so glad you're home.
Me too, little girl. I tried to get Rule to come out, but he had a late client. He was grumbling about having to draw yet another Harry Potter tattoo or something. I guess I forget he actually works.
I peeked inside the bag. It was a picture. Margot had found one of the very first pictures taken of me and Remy and put it in a lovely silver frame. I was so small and awkward, and Remy was so tall and handsome. We looked ridiculous. It was a sweet gesture, and it brought tears to my eyes. I showed it to Rome and slid it back into the bag.
I miss him every day, I said. I do too. I miss the way he made everyone act right.
I laughed a little and sipped some of my iced tea. Yeah, he was good at policing the way everyone treated each other. He didn't tolerate any of the silliness we tend to allow.
Rule said he's run into you a couple times. How was that?
I cleared my throat and willed the scarlet blush that had been accompanying Rule's name all week to stay at bay. Kinda weird. He came into the bar I work at with a bunch of friends on a game day. It's strange to interact with each other like normal people. He nodded, and I noticed the waitress openly checking him out when she dropped off our dinner.
He told me you've been having some issues with your ex.
I groaned and gave my head a shake. He has a big mouth. Among other things, but I wasn't going to let my dirty mind go there.
So what's the deal, little girl?
I made a face and shoved a bite of pasta into my mouth. Rule already talked to him, so did the enormous ex-Marine who bounces at the bar. Gabe's just a spoiled guy who isn't used to rejection. He's having trouble hearing me say no.
Is he still calling you?
I didn't want to lie, so I tried to change the subject. What did the doctor say about your shoulder? He narrowed his eyes at me and picked at his own food.
He thinks I need to up my physical therapy, and if that doesn't work, I might need a second surgery. Either way, I'll be home longer than I thought.
Well, that's good, isn't it? He shrugged, and I got the impression that he wasn't as excited about the prospect as I was.
I guess.
You want to go back?
I want to finish my tour. I don't want my tour to end like this. I hate leaving my platoon hanging. I've been in the army for 6 years, Shaw. I don't really know how to do anything else.
You have a whole lot of people who love you, Rome. Getting out of the army and being safe shouldn't be what scares you.
I know that. But it is what it is.
We lapsed into a minute of silence before he went back to Gabe.
What did Rule say to the ex?
I lifted a shoulder and let it fall. I don't know. He told him to leave me alone, and Gabe immediately jumped to the conclusion that the reason I dumped him was because of Rule. Everyone always thinks that everything I do is because of Rule. It gets old. Rome stared at me with eyes that looked so much like his brother's. I could tell by the twist in his mouth that I was not going to like what he had to say.
Isn't it?
I glared at him and poked at my plate.
No. Rule convinced Remy to move to Denver as soon as they graduated, so you decided to move here too. Rule acts like an ass, making things with Mom and Dad impossible, so you decided to play peacemaker and drag him home every weekend. Rule acts, and everyone has no choice but to react, and we've all been doing it for years, you included.
I didn't break up with Gabe because of Rule. That wasn't entirely true, but I didn't need Rome trying to pick it apart.
Really?
His incredulous voice had me bristling.
I don't know all the ins and outs of your relationship with Remy.
I interjected automatically. We were just friends, best friends. Rome went on like I hadn't even said a word.
But I do know that when you thought no one was looking, you watched Rule like a hawk. I know that every time he came stumbling home drunk, reeking of sex and cheap perfume from whatever teenage tramp he talked into letting him in her pants, you looked like he had kicked you in the gut. I know that every Sunday you looked the same way when you brought him home, so, Shaw, are you really going to try to tell me that the choices you make don't involve Rule?
I sighed and pushed the plate away, my appetite suddenly gone. What do you want me to say, Rome? My life has been entangled with the Archer boys for as long as I can remember. How much truth do you really think you can handle? I mean, some of it just isn't anybody's business. You want to hear that from the second Remy brought me home, I loved him, but that I was in love with Rule? Do you want to hear that Remy knew and took that secret to his grave? Do you want to hear that I spent years and years being sad and alone with only Remy and you guys as friends, but it was okay because you guys were all I needed? Do you want to hear that every day my heart broke a little more because Rule had no idea I was alive? Do you want to hear that without your mom and dad, I would have probably been forced into some boarding school and then some hallowed Ivy League college just so my parents didn't have to deal with me? Come on, Rome. What do you really want to know? By the time I was done, my voice was bitter, and I had twisted my napkin into a little ball on my lap.
Why did Remy keep you so close if he knew you were all tangled up by Rule? He had to know that wasn't a match that was going to happen. Rule doesn't do anything that takes work, and as much as I love you, little girl, you aren't easy.
These were the questions that I wished Remy were around to answer. I sighed. He had his reasons, one of which was to keep me as far away from my family as he could. He didn't want me to turn into a Stepford daughter, even though he was only partly successful. Sometimes I still don't feel I can get out from under all their expectations. He tapped his fingers on the table.
So, you've been in love with my brother since you were 14?
I snorted. Pretty much. And everyone else in the world seems to know it but him. I tried really hard to keep the memories from Saturday night at bay.
Why don't you tell him?
You've met your brother, right? Mr. All-Bang-Anything with big boobs and a negative IQ? Mr. All-Do-What-I-Want-When-I-Want? Rule doesn't need to know because it won't change anything. Rome shrugged his good shoulder and winked at the waitress as she dropped off our bill.
I don't know. Maybe it would be good for him to know. He's lived his life as a substitute for Remy for so long, maybe it would wake him up to know someone as good as you, as kind and loving as you, has feelings for him, and has for a long time. I know deep down he's a good guy. He just buries it under so much bullshit it can be hard to find.
My plan was to avoid Rule until hell froze over. I didn't regret sleeping with him. In fact, it had lived up to every expectation I had ever had of sex and, in all truthfulness, my ideas of sex with him. There wasn't any other person I could have imagined giving my virginity to. While I wish I had been sober and that it had been based more on emotion than physical attraction, the deed itself had been amazing and worth any twinge of remorse I had. I knew my relationship with Rule would never be the same, and I had to be okay with that. I refused to be the girl who pined after him, who stalked him and called him 100 times a day. I decided, the morning after it was all said and done, that I was lucky it had been as nice as it was, and if that was all I was ever going to get from Rule, it was going to be enough. No, his knowing wouldn't change anything. It would just make me feel worse. We both know I'm not his type, and I've dealt with enough rejection from people who are supposed to love me to last a lifetime. Rule and I can just go on being uneasy companions when we're forced to spend time together, and that'll just have to be how it is. Rome didn't need to know that things were bound to be even more strained and awkward between us now.
Dinner with your dad was that bad this year?
He got married again. She's 25. I rolled my eyes. She spent the entire dinner telling me why I should rush the sorority she was in last year before she graduated. Dad spent the whole dinner trying to tell me that I needed to give Gabe another chance. He wrote me out a check for $1,000 after implying he would double it if I took Gabe back, so it was more like extortion and torture than dinner. He chuckled without humor.
No word from your mom?
No.
I don't know how someone as soft-hearted as you came from those two.
Me either. I'm just glad I only have to deal with them in limited doses anymore. Being a constant disappointment is exhausting. He lifted a dark eyebrow.
My little brother probably knows a little bit about that.
Clever.
I try.
What happens at birthday dinner stays at birthday dinner. Right, Rome?
I'm not going to say anything. If he hasn't noticed it after all this time, it's not my job to hit him over the head with it. But I do think there is a good chance the two of you might be really good for each other. Opposites attract and all that.
The problem with that was that I didn't think Rule and I were really all that opposite. I mean, yes, he had ink from the top of his mohawked head to his booted toes, and he was all metal barbells where I was pearls and antique cameos, but we were both people trying to live beyond the boundaries everyone else seemed to want to set for us. We both had deep, painful issues with our parents, and we both loved the other Archer boys beyond measure. We both desperately wanted to be seen for the value we had without other people's expectations of what we should or shouldn't be doing. And after Saturday, I now knew we both wanted sex to be just a little bit rough and just a little bit dirty. Yeah, not as opposite as one would think at first glance. I've been trying to keep Rule from living in the dark ever since Remy died. It's only gotten worse, not better, and he just can't keep going down that path if there's never going to be an end, I said. Rome sighed as we got up and headed out into the chilly air.
At the end of the day, little girl, we're all each other has, so no matter how tough it gets for any of us, we just have to power through and keep it together.
I gave him a hug and rubbed my cold hands together. I clutched the picture close to my chest and shivered as the bitter night breeze got past my scarf. That's easy for you to say because you're an ocean away. Most of the time, it's just me and Rule in an uneasy truce with your parents breathing down our necks and mine ignoring me.
You said it yourself, Shaw. You're not a kid anymore. You can figure this out. I have faith in you.
That was just Rome. He was the protector, the one who ultimately wanted what was best for all of us. I told him to call me before he headed back to Brookside and made my way back to the apartment. It was a rare day that Aiden and I both had off, so she was sprawled in the living room with books everywhere. She was studying so intently with the radio up so loud I don't think she heard me come in. She had been giving me crap all week about Rule. While she was all for me sowing wild oats and making decisions that made me happy, and believe me, he had made me oh so very happy, she knew that my feelings for Rule were more complicated than I tended to let on, and was convinced I was courting an even more thoroughly broken heart. I tiptoed behind her and tapped her on the shoulder, making her shriek and whirl around. The reaction was so dramatic it made me double over in laughter. I flopped on the couch with a groan and took off my coat and scarf. She scowled up at me as she reached over to turn down the radio.
Not cool! How was dinner?
Good. Just good? He grilled me about Rule. He seems to think we can fix each other or some nonsense like that.
Speaking of the troublemaker, have you heard from him?
I shook my head. No. I know how he works, Aide. Do you know how many sad, bewildered girls I've seen him ditch the morning after? I refuse to be one of them.
Yeah, but you guys know each other. You were kind of friends.
I shrugged a shoulder. That doesn't matter to him. Women have always been interchangeable. It's been that way since we were young. I ran a hand through my tangled hair and stifled a yawn. I had been studying extra hard because midterms were right around the corner and the extra weekend shift at work was starting to wear on me. Add in the fact I was waking up in the night all hot and bothered and I was a tired girl. I think I might go curl up with a book and crash out early.
I'll keep the music down.
No worries. Have a good night.
You too. And hey, at least the hickey is starting to fade.
I stuck my tongue out at her and went into my room. I flopped face first on the bed and swore under my breath when I heard my phone ringing from my purse. Normally, I would have ignored it, but it was playing my mom's ringtone. Twisted Sisters, We're Not Gonna Take It. If I didn't answer, she would just keep calling until I did. Her time was deemed just that valuable. I rolled over and dug it out. Hello, Mother.
Shaw, I'm sorry it took me so long to get back to you about your birthday. We were in California. Jack had a business trip, and since it's so cold here, I thought the kids would like the beach.
I guess phones don't work in California.
No problem. I talked to your father. He said you seemed distracted and out of sorts. We discussed it, and I really think whatever game you were playing with Gabe has to stop. You're a mature young woman now, Shaw. You need to start making smarter life decisions. Flitting from boy to boy will just not stand any longer.
She didn't even tell me happy birthday.
I'm not interested in Gabe, Mom, not at all. Interest is frivolous. He comes from a good family. He has a planned-out future. Those are things that a young woman of your lineage needs to look for in a partner.
I blew a hiss out through my teeth and squeezed my eyes shut.
So those are the things that drew Dad to Marissa? She comes from a good family, she has a secure future? Or maybe he just likes her big old double D's and the fact she does whatever he says. Come on, Mom, you're being ridiculous. I most certainly am not going to spend time with a guy who makes my skin crawl just because you like him. Language, young lady. I don't know where you think all those smarts you have came from, but I'm neither foolish nor blind. I know that this has to do with that Archer boy. It always does. I rubbed my forehead where I felt the beginning of a migraine starting. She brought them on faster than anything else. So what if it does? Oh, Shaw, when are you going to outgrow this silly crush? Mom, I'm starting to get a headache. Can this wait until another time? She was silent for a long minute, and I could feel the waves of censure over the phone. I'm going to invite the Davenports to dinner. You need to be there. No, not if Gabe is going to be there. Yes, you will be there. Do not forget your father and I pay for your tuition. Great. More parental extortion. Boy, was I lucky. Yeah, fine, whatever. I didn't even say bye. I just chucked the phone under the other pillow and hit the lights. I had no idea how Rome thought I could fix anyone, be good for anyone, when I didn't even have control over my own life. And it was making me physically ill. I spent the rest of the week and weekend being a good college student. I studied every chance I got, finished my lab project, got a head start on one of my papers that was due at midterm. I even managed to squeeze in some time to help Aiden study, since she was struggling with ICAM, and I had breezed through it. I was working on a piece for one of my prerequisite classes, a speech on why assisted suicide should be legal, super fun stuff, but the apartment was too quiet, and I was tired of ignoring my phone every time it rang, fearing it would be one of my parents, or Gabe. So I packed up my laptop and went down to Pike's Perk to finish it. Aiden had texted that I should just come to the bar because it was slow, but I needed a less stimulating environment, and a coffee shop full of hipsters seemed to be just the ticket. I had a pile of research in front of me, and a caramel latte cooling by my elbow. I was so into what I was doing that I didn't notice the chair across from me at the little round table get pulled back until the metal legs scraped across the floor. In fact, I was so intent on the paperwork spread out before me, it wasn't until a familiar hand with a snake tattoo and a name across the knuckles pushed shut the top of my computer that I realized I had company. I blinked in surprise and looked up to find those arctic-colored eyes watching me intently. He was still rocking the mohawk, but now it was a shocking red, and he looked ridiculously good in a tight, long-sleeve t-shirt and jeans that were a little baggy. I didn't bother to hide the fact that I was openly checking him out. What if I hadn't saved any of that?
We've met, remember? I know you well enough to know you probably save after every sentence.
It was every paragraph, but whatever. This is kind of out of the way for you. What are you doing here? I hadn't seen him or spoken to him in exactly 10 days. The idea that he had purposely sought me out just seemed too far-fetched, so I scolded myself not to read into his sudden appearance.
I actually went by the bar. I ran into your roommate, and she told me you were probably here working on homework. Shaw, we need to talk.
I had never heard him sound so serious. It made me nervous. I needed something to do with my hands, so I picked up my drink and tried to hide behind it.
I don't think we do.
I was halfway certain he was going to say something that was going to make me want to chuck the lukewarm coffee at his head. He raised the eyebrow that had the double silver bars in it, and leaned forward so that he was resting his elbows on his knees and staring directly into my eyes. There were interesting shadows dancing and flashing in the silver depths of his eyes that I didn't know what to make of, but he had never looked more enticing than he did in that moment.
Come on. You really think things can go down like they did and we just pretend like it never happened?
Why not? It's what we've been doing, and it seems to be working just fine.
Shaw.
He sounded exasperated.
We are not going to have seriously awesome sex, especially since it was your first time, and not talk about it. First off, I want to know what you were doing with Remy for all those years if you weren't sleeping together. That just doesn't make any sense. I also want to know why you took off the next morning. You didn't even give me a chance to try to talk to you.
I set the coffee down and pushed some of my hair out of my face. I leaned toward him so that I was almost in the same position he was. We were so close I could see each of his eyelashes as they brushed against his cheek when he blinked.
I told you guys until I was blue in the face that Remy and I were just friends. We never, ever had any kind of romantic relationship. Our friendship was deep. It was powerful and intimate in a way Neanderthal males fail to understand, but it was never physical, and I can't believe you thought I would stick around afterward just to have you rush me out the door the next morning. I've seen you in action more times than I care to admit, Rule. I wasn't going to be another one of your morning-after headaches. I have more pride than that.
But you were going to hold on to your virginity for 20 years and then just give it up to me for no apparent reason?
He sounded slightly put out, which made me grin. I had my reasons, Rule.
And those would be?
For me to know. Look, I didn't ask you for anything after. I don't expect anything from you, so can't we just get over it?
No, we can't.
I reeled back a little bit and frowned at him.
What? Why not? We've known each other forever. This is just a thing that happened.
I flipped my wrist in a way I hoped was dismissive, and went stock still as he grabbed my hand in his much larger one. I stared, fascinated as the tattooed digits linked with my own.
See, this thing that happened.
His voice dropped a few octaves, and I was suddenly acutely aware that the coffee shop was full, and that for whatever reason, we had garnered enough interest from the fellow patrons who were watching our interaction with rapt attention.
It wasn't just some insignificant event that we can just ignore. Believe me, I tried. I went out Friday and met a smoking hot redhead.
I felt my face fold into a scowl as I tried to pull away from him. He smiled at me and used my trapped hand to pull me even closer.
Sadly, it took maybe 5 minutes to realize that I was trying to use one girl to get another off my mind, so I thought Saturday I would try for a blonde, or maybe a brunette, hell, maybe both, because my head was all twisted up by a chick it shouldn't be.
I tugged on my hand, but he just pulled me even closer, so that he was practically whispering in my ear, and I was almost sitting on his lap. I had to use my free hand to brace myself on his hard thigh. It was way too intimate, way too familiar to touch him this way when I was trying to put distance between us.
So Nash and I went out, and there were redheads, and there were brunettes, and there was even a super hot chick who looked kinda like Pink, but you think any of them did it for me? No, Shaw, not one, because they fucking weren't you. Ever since you walked out on Sunday, all I've been thinking of is you. Now why is that?
His words made me shiver from the inside out.
Because it was new? Because we have history and it makes it harder for you to keep me faceless and nameless? I don't know, Rule.
He lifted a hand and ran his thumb across the rise of my cheek. It made my breath catch and my heart start to trip over itself.
Whatever the reason, it matters, Shaw. It matters a lot.
What are you trying to say, Rule?
I don't know. All I know is other girls aren't you, and that isn't cutting it for me. I think we need to figure out what's going on between us.
I shook my head a little, and a silver flare lit up his pale gaze.
I'm not going to be one of many. Like I said, I had my reasons for letting things happen the way they did, but if you think I'm signing up to be a bed filler because no one else is fitting the bill right now, you are sadly mistaken.
I know you, Rule. I've known you since you first figured out girls were more complicated than boys, and you've never wanted to put the work in. The feather-light sweep of that thumb across my cheek almost had me melting into a puddle at his booted feet.
So this time I will. We'll hang out, do shit together. I mean, we've known each other forever, but I honestly don't really know anything about you. Come on, Shaw. What do you really have to lose?
Not my heart, because he already had it, even though he didn't know it. So you want to, like, date?
He laughed. I'm not really the dating type, but I swear that while we're trying to figure out what's going on, I'll keep it in my pants. No screwing around, no other girls. I owe it to you, and to me, to see what's here or if it was just a fluke.
He sounded so sincere. He looked serious and determined to make me believe what he was saying. I cleared my throat and bit my bottom lip a little. Sure, it was what I had dreamed of. Rule suddenly realizing I was a girl and wanting to be with me. Granted, in my fantasy it always came with his profession of undying love and devotion. In reality, his curiosity and promise to at least feel things out was probably as good as I was ever going to get. I didn't know how much I trusted him, but I had always, always wanted him, and it just wasn't in me to turn that down when it was being offered up on a silver platter. If we do this, hang out, spend time together, your parents, my parents, Rome, none of them are going to like it very much. Who cares? I guess I did, but I always was the only one to worry about that stuff. Okay.
Okay.
I breathed out a soft breath, and as it whispered across his mouth, he briefly closed his eyes. So I did the only thing that was left to do. I leaned forward and pressed my lips to his. It wasn't with the same desperation as it had been the last time. There was no panic that he would change his mind, no years upon years of pent-up desire and frustration, no regret that it was only going to be a one-night thing. Just the sweet press of my lips against his, and the soft bite of his lip ring into my lower lip. Kissing Rule would always be uniquely different from kissing anyone else. There was just something about it that put it in a class all its own. I felt his lips turn into a grin as audible sighs from several of the tables around us were heard. He pulled back and tapped a finger on the tip of my nose. I sat back in my chair and cleared my throat. Well then. He barked out a laugh.
Yeah, at least that part of it seems to be a no-brainer.
I shifted in my seat and motioned absently to the work still sprawled across the table between us. As nice as this little visit was, I have to finish this presentation. A quick flash of disappointment blazed across his eyes, but he hid it behind his easy grin.
When do you work this weekend?
I work all weekend, but I'm first out on Saturday night. I just have to be in by 10 on Sunday morning.
Busy girl.
You don't know the half of it.
So this hanging out thing might be harder than I thought?
He said it lightheartedly, but I knew Rule. He was an instant gratification kind of guy. If my tight schedule made it hard for us to spend time together, I had no illusions that he would wait around for me to be free. He would move on to something easier and more manageable. I'll be out around 10 on Saturday, and usually I'm out by 7 on Sunday. The Sunday shift is optional. I just picked it up because we stopped going to Brookside, and I figured I might as well make a little extra money.
My buddy Jet is playing at Cerberus this weekend. Why don't you grab your roommate and come hang out Saturday night?
What kind of music is it? Cerberus had a pretty